You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We're back. We changed things up yet again.
Yes.
We switched sides.
It's our 70th episode. We thought, let's do something different.
It was more that it was wardrobe malfunctions, and it's this true. Just made more sense. So we discovered women's buttons face a different direction than men.
Men's go that way.
Women's go the other way.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to make it easier for
all the other people that are
helping us manage this podcast. That's what we're doing. We're helping all the detailed people.
There we go. No more tape.
No more tape everywhere.
No tape.
Well, we have a bunch of questions that we're going to dive into.
Awesome.
That's what this episode is. You guys loved it so much, so we're going to keep giving more questions, which is always fun.
Yep. Keep them coming in.
And I think they're questions from all over the planet and all over the board from all different topics. So should be fun.
Goulash.
You ready?
Here we go.
Okay. Our first question that we have comes to us today from Sarah.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. Love the podcast and books. Thanks for all you are doing. God has really used the Unpunishable and Kylo principles to help me see the importance of love, repentance, not living in fear, and etc. However, I would love your wisdom on how to deal with our newly adult daughter who did not grow up with those principles. She was born stubborn and we butted heads her whole life. She grew up in fear and is full of anxiety and self-doubt now, and she blames us for everything. She's hurting. She is not living at home, but seeks some connection at times. My struggle is that I want to encourage her to set and keep boundaries with us, but her boundaries tend to be self-harming. She has taken her hurts and feelings of being unloved and decided she's no longer a she. And her boundary with us is to call her new name and pronouns. I just don't know what to do about that. I want to set my own boundaries of living in reality and loving her for who she truly is, but I don't want to cut off connection with her either. I feel a bit lost on how to frame this issue and where to go from here. Any thoughts or resources would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Well.
Yeah, it's a hard one. It's painful.
The problems of today, you know, I think that probably it is interesting to me as she's talking, I'm thinking the problem in the relationship is the connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to be able to convey, I love you, I care about you, you're important to me, while they do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they can say, no, you don't, but you just keep your love on and speak her love language, protect that connection. Because really, there's no influence, there's no leadership, there's nothing without a connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's no relationship without a connection, except a bad one, a painful one, a more power struggle. So I would manage me, and I would let her manage her. And as far as what are you going to call me and all that stuff, I would just say, you know, I'll manage me and you manage you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll call you by your name. And I will talk to you as I have. And mm-hmm. that's what I'm going to do with me. You do with you. Want to be offended by that or you want to take issue with that, then that's up to you. But I love you. I care about you. Da-da-da-da-da-da. It's so confusing and so painful when, the divisive issues of I'm going to control you and how you behave in, with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I'm going to do this. If you're going to reject me because I call you by your name, then I'm sorry for that. I will miss you. I love you, but that we'll have to live through that, I guess. But I'm not going to change. I'm not going to, you know, if you said, you call me your highness or you don't get to talk to me, then I guess I wouldn't talk to you very much because I just wouldn't call you your highness. I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the wrestling match that people are in these days with, I want all the control.
Sure.
It's like, well, you can have your half of the control.
Yeah.
And I'll keep my half of the control. And I'll meet you there.
Mm-hmm. I always think of a story that Mom told me. I think you guys are in England, I want to say, but this mom came up to my mom, and just is through tears, heartbroken over their son that is, you know, he's got a mohawk, he's got all these piercings on his face, he's, you know, been smoking pot, he's sleeping with his girlfriend, he doesn't care about the relationship, he's out of control. I think he's 15 or 16, he's just scaring Mom. And Mom wants to control, wants to jump in and manage. And I remember just her telling, I keep saying the word mom, I should say Sherry. My mother, Sherry, to clarify, says to this other woman that, you know, look past all of that. Look past all the distractions and all the confusion that this child is carrying. And look for that little five-year-old boy that is desperate for connection, affirmation, and unconditional love. And you speak to that little boy that is lost inside all of this chaos.
Yeah.
And that's what I always think about in these situations is there's just so much chaos that's coming. And it's really easy to give it all this attention.
Mm-hmm.
But then we lose sight of what the biggest goal that we have as parents is to love you well, to love you like Christ loved you, mm-hmm. you know, and that is my biggest job is to be that example, be your earthly example of this. And it's really hard. I mean, we've had our ups and downs with our kids and they're all different and they may not have mohawks and piercings, but they can still scare you.
Absolutely. It's shocking, you know, what the quest to become independent introduces into relationship with your kids because they are supposed to differentiate, you know, they're mm-hmm. supposed to convince themselves that they are independent of you and capable independent of you. And you're supposed to let them do that. And it's scary.
It's terrifying.
Super scary. Because they're just starting, so they're really bad at it.
It's like the first time the bird flies out of the nest, you're like, I really hope you got this.
I hope you could fly, because we're way up here. I put this nest way up here to protect you. Now that thing may kill you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It is scary. And but it so often becomes about control. You know, who's going to control who? And I said this a few weeks ago. At a conference, I said, you know, if you want to be a control freak, control your freaking self.
Yeah.
And that begins to be mm-hmm. kind of a, if you can remember that, just remember self-control. That's the goal in any relationship is controlling yourself. Not trying to get them to say the right thing, do the right thing, be the right thing, supply the right thing. It's very much about you communicating to them what you need, what's going on with you, how you're experiencing them, mm-hmm. and what you'll be doing with all that.
Yeah.
That's it. And if you can train yourself to control yourself, you enter far less power struggles.
Yeah. So I think, Sarah, I would be leaning into what's her love languages. You know, if it's too offensive to call her by her first name, you know, sweetie, honey, love, those are probably safe spaces to land in,
mm-hmm.
To maintain that connection as you try and build it. But I would just, like I said before, look past all that crazy and keep your love on. mm-hmm. as your mama heart knows how to do. Mm-hmm. You just fight to protect that and work really hard to do that well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll be praying for you, Sarah. Okay, our next question comes to us today from Dave.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for what you've done with the Kylo Show. It's been so helpful. In the Truth Telling in Marriage episode, Brittany was talking about that when you're trying to identify the need in somebody, you can start off by asking them what they need to feel and then move on to helping them identify what they need. I was just wondering if you guys can unpack that a bit further, because I'm not sure how to do that, how to go from helping someone to identify what they need to feel to helping them find their language to identify what they need. So that would be really helpful. Thank you so much.
I love the feeling wheel for my cheat sheet of mm-hmm. what do you need to feel. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have to practice this on Ben. Most of the time I'm pretty good at finding my need because it's just usually angry. And then I got to figure out if I'm hurt mm-hmm. or sad. So that's
I'm having a feeling.
I'm so mad. It's always mad. And then, okay, what is it behind there? But Ben is not, I mean, he's, I guess you're similar in that you guys are pretty even keeled. So when you're having emotion, I think most time it boils down to feeling sad, hurt, or scared. But there's obviously more than that. But for me, the feeling wheel has been a really great way to, you know, in the exchange or the argument, when we're able to talk about it, you know, what do you need to feel from me? If we're having a hard exchange, maybe you felt disrespected in how I handled the kids or maybe how I handled a conversation with you in the car. What do you need to feel from me? And that's kind of where we get, I need to feel respected. Okay. So you need to feel respected. And so you need me to, what do you need from me in feeling respected? What would be the, how would you feel respected? Probably your tone. I need to feel different from your tone. So I need to feel like you're going to communicate with me in a way that feels respectful and not hostile, you know, which is a very real conversation that we've had. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I am very direct and blunt. We just went on a trip and all the children are making fun of me in the airport of how intense I am of get to from point A to point B. This is how we should do it. Minimize the impact around us. Make sure everyone's safe and secure. So I have a very different go to the airport feeling than Ben's like, we're going on a trip. It's going to be fun. Everybody, I'm like, no, we must get to.
Soldiers alive. There's as one.
Again. I mean, we are as different as you can imagine. I have a funny story, which we'll have to tell another time, but it's not relevant to this moment. But Ben and I are just so different. So the, you know, my feeling the need to feel safe and secure in an uncontrolled environment, I can get disrespectful. So Ben's got to be able to tell me, I need to feel respected. And if he doesn't know how to translate that into a need, then we usually kind of go on a journey of asking questions. What does that look like for you? But that's how we go back and forth. It's a bit like ping pong, it feels like. Mm-hmm. It's not always instant. Sometimes it's a conversation more than one time.
It's a little bit dangerous, but I think that, you know, describing the incident, you know, the way that you would say, you know, I need to feel respected. And you're like, well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. It means I need to feel valued. I need to feel important. I need to feel special. Your mom used to say, I need to feel special. And I go, special. Okay, special. And I knew exactly what it meant when she said it. I just tried to act stupid because it was too specific. It was too accurate. You know, I need to feel special. And it lit me up inside like, oh, okay, because when you're feeling disrespected or you're feeling neglected, I'm not thinking of you as special. And I'm so busted right now, you know, by that word. Sure. But that really was a great job of identifying what she needed to feel mm-hmm. without saying, you're neglectful, you're distracted, you're giving more attention to somewhere else, mm-hmm. someone else. And so I think that, you know, if you can describe a situation like you're so busy doing so many things, taking care of so much stuff, I feel disrespected, gets a little confusing. Mm-hmm. So if you can keep tightening it yeah. down and even going back and forth, say, in all of the important things that are being done around mm-hmm. here, I need to feel special.
Yeah.
I need to pop up above the fray. Sure. You know, you're like, ah, okay, special nailed me.
Yeah, it does feel like it's practice of going a little bit back and forth to get to, oh, there's the bullseye. Mm-hmm. It is funny when you go back and forth and have the exchange, the response the person has when you finally actually are saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And there's usually an owner of, I'm not making you feel special mm-hmm. and I understand and I know this. So, you know, I get snappy when I'm scared. I'm trying to hold all of my precious cargo as closely as possible. And you know, usually it's Ben that I'm snappy with, mm-hmm. you know, and what I would say Ben, knowing Ben, is never, ever trying to create a situation where I feel scared. It's just our differences that light up of, I need something very different in this scenario, mm-hmm. you know, and being able to, we laugh because vacation is so different for us. And so he's super chill. And I'm like, I really want to make sure that everyone walks away feeling like we got to do all the things that were important to everybody. And if we just don't have a plan, I feel like maybe we won't accomplish that. Unless everyone's okay with that, then I will adjust. I mean, that's usually what I keep saying is, do you need me to adjust? Because I know I've got the highest need for a plan out of my whole family. Mm-hmm. I am the intense D. They all came out as S's and I's. And but it is a process of going back and forth. And the feeling wheel is a great way to start practicing, trying to find mm-hmm. What I need to feel. And so that's where.
I remember another time, Mom, Sherry, I was pastoring. She had three little kids, and we had a major disconnect. I don't remember what it was, but we woke up in this major disconnect. We're trying to go, you know, I have to leave to go do a funeral. Mm. You know, so it's a pretty important deal. It's like, I can't say, hey, you know, guys, I'm not going to be there. Yeah. It wasn't like that. It was like, I'm leaving. I'm going to go get dressed in a suit and I'm going to go do a funeral and then I'll come back and we can bury this marriage. You know, no. I was like, oh, geez. So I come back and she's trying to tell me something and I cannot hear because she keeps saying, you don't care about your family. Mm-hmm. You don't care about your family. You care about everything else except your family. And I'm like, she's just killing me. This yeah. like the thing I care about most is my family. And she's saying, I could prove it. Yeah. I could prove that you don't care about your family. And she's got this whole case about how I spend all this time doing all these other things, which is my job. You know, mm-hmm. I get paid to do that. I bring money home for my family. You know, but whatever. And I'm looking at my calendar and I'm trying, I'm like, look, I'm building things. I don't understand. You don't care about. And then she finally says, we miss you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. The whole spirit of the conversation changed. Mm-hmm. And then she said, we feel incomplete when you're not here.
Mm. That's a very different message.
You don't care about your family. We feel incomplete. I feel our family feels incomplete when you're not here. Mm-hmm. And kaboom. I mean, the penny dropped. And I was like, that's what you're trying to say? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to defend myself from, we feel incomplete when Dad's not around? No, that's not, no. So now I am on a quest to complete my family, to send the message that we're whole, we're mm-hmm. whole and healthy and going to change the world. You know, here we are. That's, I was little. You guys are little.
That was a very long time ago.
Yeah. It's so funny how you can remember these conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is that revelation moment. Oh, that's what you're trying to say? So I would just keep staying in the fight till you get to, that's what you're trying to say. The listening better than someone's talking feels really crucial in these moments to be able to lean in. Because mm-hmm. it's the difference of we walk away connected or disconnected.
And you're a lot like your mom. You know, she has a emotion of choice, you know, and she's really angry when she feels hurt or scared mm-hmm. or powerless. Mm-hmm. And she's feeling all three of those in that moment.
Yeah.
So for her to get vulnerable, I mean, it took all morning. Yes. It took all morning in a funeral to get to...
It's horrible.
To we feel incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, she was crying, and she had to dig deep to go get that.
Yeah.
And I kept asking her, what do you need? What do you need to feel? What is the problem? Mm-hmm. And the problem is I don't care about my family. You're not going to get me to agree with that one.
Right.
Okay, so what do you need to feel? Mm-hmm. What's going on? And it was a vulnerable moment.
Yeah.
But it really worked.
Yeah. Again, Dave, keep staying in the fight.
Yeah.
I think that's what I would keep staying in it for sure. You'll get there. Practice. That's what I would say. All right. Our next one comes to us from Gert.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. I'm sending this message out of South Africa. And my question is, how do I know what is the difference between a good consequence and punishment? So how does, for instance, if I'm struggling with my children wanting to go to bed and I say, guys, are you tired or would you like something to do? How is that thing that I give them to do, whether it's sweeping or cleaning something, how is that not conveyed as just a different punishment? What would be the line between what is punishment and what is a consequence for their choices?
I love these opportunities because for me, it's all about, it's really an empowerment that mm-hmm. we give our kids. Because, I mean, he said it, you know, are you guys tired or you need something to do? Mm-hmm. That right there is the act of I'm empowering you to have a consequence or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you the choice, but punishment would be, you're not going to bed? Fine, go sweep the garage.
Mm-hmm.
There's no choice. I completely just overpower you with my ability. I'm bigger. I'm older. I'm the parent. I give you no opportunity for you to be involved in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see a big difference between empowerment and punishment or discipline and punishment. I think also the heart, you know, if people, I've heard people say for years, you know, don't spank your kids when you're angry. Oh, well, that is hard. It's a hard thing. I'm normally giving you a spanking because I'm way done. You know, and every time we ever gave a spanking to our kids, it was, can you calm down or do you need my help? And I would absolutely be lying if I was not frustrated in that moment. But mm-hmm. I am managing myself mm-hmm. because I'm still giving you a choice. And when they were out of control, I would give them a swat with my hand on their butt. And then I would look at them and say, do you need some more help or can you control yourself? And that was my last resource. But again, I'm frustrated and we're going to give out a spanking, but I'm still offering you a choice to manage yourself because mm-hmm. that's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people have a hard time with that. I'm not exactly sure why. I mean, there's, you know, all kinds of federal cases built to, you know, remove corporal punishment 100%
mm-hmm.
and around the world. It's especially yeah. in other countries.
I think it's been removed in other countries.
I just mean it as a topic, as mm-hmm. an option. You're like, yeah, well, that is, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
But when a child is left control of themselves, they need help. they need help. You know, you don't get to just lose control of yourself in life without somebody with a gun and a cage to come and help you. So let's get this settled here while you're little.
Yeah.
And the idea of don't tell your child no, or don't ever, like, wow, okay. Well, you can set that child up for a reality that doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
or a reality that somebody destructive is trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
But there are real consequences. You pull the cat's tail, and that cat turns around and lights you up.
Yeah.
And the incredible lesson that happened right there
mm-hmm.
isn't that cats are evil, or that children will learn to claw people, or, you know, anything. It's don't do that twice.
Yeah.
That was, you know, hey, and some kids don't actually believe that it will happen twice.
Yeah.
Or five times.
Yep.
Say, wow, what happened to your arm? The cat. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's me and the cat. It's me and the cat. And some kids have that attitude with life.
Mm-hmm.
It's me and life. It's me and life. I'm going to take it on. It isn't going to happen to me. Like, okay, well, wow. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And to go back to Gert's question, it's all about control. Who has the control? So when you offer your child, hey, are you tired? Or would you like something to do? And they say, I'm tired. And then they keep messing around. And you come back and you go, you decide or I'll decide.
Yeah.
And they keep messing around.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, I'll decide. Come with me. And now I'm leading them. All right, would you like to sweep the garage floor, or would you like to wash out the garbage cans? Because guess how many times I want to do this with them?
Yeah.
No, so I'm going to find something that they really don't want to do again the next time I say, are you tired, or would you like something to do?
Mm-hmm.
You decide, or I'll decide. They're like, oh my gosh, I pulled the cat's tail. I do not want this to happen again. Like, mm-hmm. right, neither do I.
Yeah.
I just want you to go to bed. That was kind of my original,
That's why we have bedtime.
That's why we brush our teeth, and you drink your water,
you
and we read
rest.
A story, and we pray to Jesus, and, you know, and it's bedtime.
And good night.
Good night.
Yeah.
You know, and there you go. And so you want to change that into something you want, and I want to change it into something I want.
Yeah.
But let's do this while we protect our relationship. Mm-hmm. So they're sweeping the floor, and they get done, and you say, okay, are you tired, or do you need something else to do? I'm tired. I'm starting to catch on.
You have so many things I can keep doing.
I'm making so many poor choices in a row here. I can't believe myself. I'll do better tomorrow. Watch this. Go ahead. Let's see if this it'll change. And but it's all about who has control. Because when you are punishing people, they have no control.
Mm-hmm.
They're just hanging on for the ride. So if you're swaling, you got a belt and you're wailing on your kid because you're mad, okay, that's absolute punishment and totally destructive. If you're just barking out commands because you're frustrated, get out of bed, get in the garage and sweep it. I'm so sick and tired.
Right.
Yeah, okay, this is all punishment.
Yeah.
But if you can set those choices out there, share the control,
mm-hmm.
and lead them to wise decision-making, that's the goal. Learn to control yourself, my child. I'll control myself, and I'll show you how you do it.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
I do remember one of the times Lincoln was probably, I don't know, 3 or 4, and he was just talking and talking. It was bedtime. Everyone was in their rooms. And then all of a sudden, I hollered up the stairs and said, hey, buddy, are you tired, or do you need something to do? And the girls have both experienced this. And before he could answer, both girls yell at him, Lincoln, you're tired. And it's they're trying to spare him from, you don't want to go down there. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. And I just started laughing, thinking, oh, this is going to be a great story someday. And he, I don't think he's ever done tired of something to do. He's definitely 10 now. And so there are some moments where he's and this discovery of himself, which is great, but it is going to, I think he's going to find himself with some hard consequences, but it's part of learning.
It is.
You know, just as much as he's learning to own responsibility in other areas, I want to do such a good job with this where it's really safe for them to fail. It's really safe for them to learn. It's hard to watch. It's uncomfortable, all those things. But I'd rather it be right here than somewhere where it's really costly.
You know, and living on a farm, there's lots of things to do. There's lots of, or would you like something to do? There's lots of.
Those goat pebbles out there, there's a lot of them. They could be out there for a long time.
Yeah, there's firewood. There's stuff. We got some stuff for you to do. Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, they do that every now and then. We rally them and we clean up and do different jobs, but they don't want to do it just for fun.
No, it's not fun. I'd rather be sleeping.
Yeah, totally. So I hope that helps. It really is that shared control and empowerment. So, and your heart, you know, check your heart. If you made a mess and you get to clean it up, you know, like, hey, I didn't give a very good choice. I was really frustrated. I love you. I'm sorry. Let's try that again. You know, that's the beauty of repentance is we get to lead in it as well.
Yep.
So don't be afraid of that either.
Beautiful.
Awesome. All right. Our next question comes to us from Danielle.
Hi, Danny, Brittany. Hope you guys are well. I just wanted to ask a question on, you know, I think it's also just kind of taken for granted, like, you know, women hyphenating their surnames. I am considering this. The reason being my father passed away last year and I'm also busy completing my PhD, getting married soon. And I just thought it would be, you know, just a way to honor him. By, you know, keeping my surname and hyphenating my soon-to-be husband. But I was just wondering, from your perspective, like, is there a spiritual... And I know, obviously, with my father, he would probably have wanted me to, you know, kind of just, you know, take on my soon-to-be husband's surname. But I just wanted to know, by you guys, is there, like, a... Like, is there, like, a spiritual connotation, you know, when it comes to, or significance around, like, you know, just taking on, you know, your full-on, your husband's surname? Or, and is there, you know, things that are taken away, like, you know, when you're hyphenated, in terms of the union and the oneness? If you could, like, provide clarity on this, I would really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Another great question for the day we live in.
Yeah. I remember having this thought, you know, knowing, you know, my career path was most likely going to be being, you know, helping with Loving on Purpose. It's always been a passion of mine. So it's kind of fun because people don't know Serpil as well as they know Silk. Mm. And so they don't always know who I am, but because I didn't hyphenate my name. I always thought that I might spit on people with that Silk Serpil. It's just like
SS.
It's just too much coming out.
Too much. Too much BSS.
It's just too much happening there. But I don't know. I think I would be really actually having this conversation with my husband to be. What message does this send for him in our relationship? If it's a really hard one, I understand the situation with your father. I'm so sorry. That makes it even harder. I do know someone
but she did say, I think my father would want me to do it just, you know, the traditional way. And I mean, if I'm actually setting out to honor my father, then there's your, you know, there's,
if that's the,
what he would want. Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know what your surname is. And if, you know, maybe when you have a child, it could be part of their name. I knew someone that did that. They named their son their maiden name because it was like Carter. It worked. But I think for me, it really comes down to your relationship with your husband to be. Yeah. How does he feel about this? How does that impact him? How is this something that if he's in full support and doesn't care at all, you know, I'd be asking some hard questions to make sure. I know a couple other people that have hyphenated their names, but they had a little bit more of a life in the public before getting married. So I think for publicity, that's a hard word to say, publicity.
There it is.
That was real, much harder than it should have been. But you know, she kept her maiden name and then hyphenated. But I don't know your situation like that. I think in a public eye, it might be harder. But I would be having conversations with your husband to be, and you know, you did mention your dad might be okay with sticking with the traditional way. So it's probably just a more of a relational question between the two of you.
And it's such an interesting topic, you know, like why in the world did that happen? Why did you have to lose your last name? You know,
I don't know. I don't even know who started these rules.
The church bulletin, or what do you call that catalog of photos that they take?
Yeah, with, the
program. No, something. I forget what they call them. But
It wasn't a bulletin, but it was something. Their director. We're getting whispers. We don't know how to talk today. That word.
Church directory. There you go. All these photos. And you would have like you generally the church leadership. And it would be Mr. and Mrs. Tom Smith.
Uh-huh.
Like she didn't even have a name anymore.
A name.
You
know,
like, so it's so dishonoring and disrespectful towards the female in its design. So I understand totally why you would step out of that and say, hey, I didn't go away because I got married.
Right.
And at the same time, there is this differentiation that we are broadcasting that if it isn't in agreement, like we didn't come together and say, this is our message to the planet that, you know, we are two individuals that have formed into one, but we're still two, or however you come to that conclusion. Sure. If you don't have a great agreement around that, it kind of reminds you of your separation, your distance, your not coming together as one. You know, so that, you know, if it was a battle before you got married, it's an announcement every single time somebody says your name.
Yeah.
Every time a piece of mail comes by.
Totally.
Like, yeah. So that would be very, very important.
Yeah. Definitely a good conversation with your husband to be, and both of you walking away with lots of peace and unity
around this thing. Yeah. Every time that's printed up, you go, yep, we did that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's probably the best route to take, Daniel.
Yep.
For sure. All right. Well, and congratulations on your upcoming wedding and for you.
And your PhD.
All that. Mm-hmm. So, okay. The next question we have comes to us from Leah.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. I just wanted to thank you, first of all, on behalf of myself and my husband and so many other people I know, for all of your teachings and your tools that you have so freely given the world. We are all better for it and just so thankful. My question is just looking for some advice on a friendship that I feel I have to let go. It's just exceedingly painful because it's my oldest and longest friendship, and I feel it's probably been dying very slowly for the past 5 years. And I feel like I've also been gaslit, so that's why it's taken so long, because I thought, oh, maybe it's not dying, maybe we're fine. But very recently I've been made aware that it most certainly is, and it's just really painful, and I think about it all the time. And I also feel that I've done what I can, all I can. And I've also heard from their mouth that they are not ready in terms of any kind of sit down or conversation, because just from what I know of them over the last close to 18 years, they're not comfortable with confrontation. Even though I'm not a heated person at all, I just really want reconciliation, and I feel like I've been served divorce papers and finally have to sign them. So I'm just wondering if you have anything for me.
It's always hard.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think it sounds like you already kind of know the answer,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean, I think by asking us is just hoping that we have something different for you. I wish I had a better solution, but I think if this relationship isn't progressing and it's at a standstill and it's becoming painful and, you know, like you said, the analogy of being served divorce papers, you know, you have to kind of make a decision. How content am I with having a pretty surface level relationship here? Because that sounds like the depths of which you're probably going to get if you're not able to mend the disconnect. And I'm assuming that they probably have already moved further and further outside of your trust circle or your sphere of influence because inconsistencies, not pursuing each other, or that pain. So it's just painful. Mm-hmm. It's painful. Can't change people. Can't fix it if someone doesn't want to work on it. But it is the question for you is, you know, what are you going to do? And what level of relationship are you okay with having given the information that's in front of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important that you stay you through mm-hmm. the whole process and that you don't turn into somebody that you don't recognize or respect while this is ending. Mm-hmm. So keep your love on, right. Stay powerful, win the battle between love and fear, stay in the love, keep connection your goal, meaning that there might be some boundaries in there because of the quality of our relationship has changed. Remain respectful no matter what. Just keep saying, I want to have a conversation, but when she talked about being gaslit, that's pretty disrespectful, mm-hmm. essentially trying to redefine reality for somebody by, that's not what's going on. This is what's going on. You're like, okay, so you aren't going to listen to me. Okay, that hurts. Ouch. Yeah. And then practice mm-hmm. honoring boundaries, healthy boundaries. And that's, remember that a boundary isn't rejection. A boundary leaves the hope of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal of keeping your love on and keeping connection your goal, is that if this changes at some point in the distance, you won't have very much work to do.
Yeah.
Next to none, except see them on the horizon returning and run out and hug them. Yeah. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. So stay in a posture of love and acceptance and realize that, some people just have the hardest time saying I'm sorry. And some people just have the hardest time giving up their mountain that they're willing to die on. And you're like, all right, well, maybe we'll come back by this mountain. I don't know. We'll see if you're there. Yeah. Or whatever. I think these are hard. These are hard. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of them these days, with all the craziness in our world.
Places we could disagree.
Things that, people are just willing to end relationships over so they can feel like they were right. Mm-hmm. And so I've sacrificed love for right. And they will know we were Christians because we are right. Like, no, that's not what that says. That mm-hmm. doesn't say that, But but it feels, like the mountain to die on.
Yeah.
And you can be right and loving. Mm-hmm. you can speak the truth in love. You can, you must, but it's an art, and it's deep dedication.
Yeah, totally. Well, Leah, we're praying for you as you process and just really practice what you preach, which is keep your love on, mm-hmm. And that you do a good job of staying true to yourself and prioritizing that connection as best you can.
Practicing the Kylo 5.
I know.
Keep it going.
Well, we're going to do something kind of different for our testimony spot.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Kylo Marriage Workshop not too long ago.
We did.
Which was very fun.
So much fun.
It was kind of fun because it was all of us on display in a way that I don't know that any of us had done that message before. I mean, maybe mom's kind of done a version of her message there, and you did one, then you did a new one. I hadn't heard that one before.
First time I'd ever done it.
Yeah. So, and it came together beautifully.
Yep.
That's a testimony in itself.
It was.
But do you have any testimonies from people sharing with you that you wanted to share? Because I totally share one, but I didn't know if you had any that you wanted to share.
One couple came that, they were headed for divorce, and somebody kind of stepped in and invited them to come mm-hmm. and paid for them to get there. And they came to us in the afternoon of the workshop and said, you know, we've called off our divorce. And we're like, I'm like, oh my gosh. That, and there were three of those. Three people yeah. canceled their divorce. But I think the thing that stood out to me was we did a kind of workshop style.
You know? Like we did. Like Q&A, we, yeah. kind of mingled
so
around.
Everybody's at round tables all over the room. And our team's walking around and every table's raising their hands, you know, trying to get our attention. It felt like, you know, we were the Disney characters that, you know, walk around.
I think you were definitely Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Definitely Mickey Mouse. And then the second one, there were just a couple of people. And by the time we got to the end of that day, the couples were just locked eye to eye. Mm-hmm. And we were walking around the room and nobody was even noticing we were there. They were so drilling into their connection.
It was fun to see all the work that people were immediately doing. Mm-hmm. Where I feel like we go to these events and, you know, feels good, hard stuff. But we don't do it, and we really created space to do it. I met with a couple early on, one of the first sessions, having a hard time, and she mentioned that, you know, she's got one foot out the door, and I think she came to you, me, and Ben at one point, and in tears. And after Ben's session, she said he finally got it. He finally understands what yeah. I've been trying to say,
yeah.
and she's just a wreck because all of a sudden, the opportunity for connection and understanding has just flooded open, and she's just overwhelmed and just standing there thinking, I'm so glad I came to San Diego. I'm so glad I gave up our weekend to do this. And, you know, we have those beautiful testimonies, and that's really what fuels us to keep going and keep fighting. Cause as much as that is a victory, you know, that was just one little region with, you know, 200 people. And I don't know if you realize, but we have a whole planet, guys, mm-hmm. a whole planet of people that need this. And so the partners that we have that are, you know, able to help us get to these locations, to help us keep doing what we're doing, I mean, that's what's, you know, a massive fuel for us to keep going is these donors and these partners that we have. And I'm loving some of the phone calls that Ben's having with our mm-hmm, partners. Mm-hmm. I've been in a couple of them and, you know, Ben, if you don't know Ben, he's the kindest man in the human race. He's just amazing. And he's calling some of these partners and just having conversations and asking, you know, how can we pray for you? What do you need? And they're blown away that Ben's calling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just another way for us to be connected to these people that are investing yeah. in what we're doing.
It's helping us so much.
It's
kind of a
so
new
much.
Thing. We've never really asked yeah. for donations or had partners, or mm-hmm. and it's turning into so helpful. And we are so thankful
yeah.
for all these people because it feels so affirming, you know, yeah. to have somebody go, "I want to help you.
Yeah.
I want to help you do what you're doing." Like, mm-hmm. thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. We need that help.
Totally. So if you're interested in partnering with us in this mission, you're going to want to go to lovingonpurpose.com to be able to partner and be, you know, maybe you'll get a phone call from Ben. I don't know how he
he's got a little wheel.
I don't know how he decides, but maybe you'll get a phone call from Ben. And but it's just, we want to keep sharing these stories because, you know, our partners and our people that are investing in these marriages. You may never know their faces. You may never know their names, but mm-hmm. just know that you were part of their victory. And that's what we love to do. Yeah. So thank you so much. And thank yeah. you so much for listening to us here on The Kylo Show. And we're excited. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineered and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.